Welcome to Real World Theology, episode 58. On this episode, we're talking about Furious 7, the seventh installment in the Fast and Furious franchise. Now, what some of you might be asking is, why are there seven movies in this Fast and Furious franchise? Well, that's a great question. J.R. Forresteros and Griffin Kale are on to help me kind of try to wade through that. And if nothing else, this film is now the fastest film in history ever to $1 billion. It had a $190 million opening weekend, and it's really just about cars going fast, furiously. So there are some things to talk about with this one, including the unfortunate death of Paul Walker and how that affected the film. We try to have some reverence / irreverence for that. There is this theme of family that they keep plugging into these movies. We kind of rate how much we've enjoyed these films since their inception. Talk about how it kind of shifted with Fast Five on, and what we've enjoyed about the franchise and not enjoyed about the franchise, and how it might be okay to enjoy a movie that doesn't have lots of depth but is knows what it is and is done well. Even though Vin Diesel thinks it's Oscar-worthy, we don't, but we think it's worth talking about because, like I said, it's everyone's going to see it. Everyone who hasn't seen it wants to see it. So, with that said, here it is, episode 58, Furious 7, and exactly what you'd expect. Movie theaters are modern-day pulpits. Real-world theology exists to shed a light on the narratives that are shaping our culture, and to encourage viewers to recognize that entertainment is not mindless. You know, it was a little over a year when we all first got together.
It has been that while long, hasn't it? I feel like, what do we talk about? What was that first one?
American Hustle.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We talked about how great that script was.
That was the first one that the three of us were on was American Hustle?
Yeah, because that was the first one you were on, right, JR? Yeah, that was your first one.
It was? Okay.
I'm pretty sure. Like I said, a little over a year ago.
Has he got a movie coming out this year?
JR? No, I don't think so.
Don't make that joke. I wonder if he's got a movie coming out this year.
David Russell?
Yeah.
I think something at the end of the year.
I'll tell you what, Brad Cooper and Emma Stone have a terrible looking movie coming out this year. Oh, yeah, but it's by Cameron Crowe, so of course it's terrible.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Dude, so, I mean, I saw who was in it, and I saw who directed it, and I was pretty excited for one to have a title. And to see a trailer. And when I saw that trailer in a theater, I was like, this is everything I hate about scripts.
Yeah, it's literally every romantic comedy cliche possible.
Is it the Aloha one?
Yes.
Yeah, it was Aloha. Hmm. I'm hoping that there's no way it can be that bad.
Sure it can. Because Cameron Crowe don't care. He can make whatever crappy movie he wants. He's Cameron Crowe.
Oh, but see, I remember that one scene where...
We Bought a Zoo wasn't terrible, I guess.
I didn't even see I Bought a Zoo because I didn't even see Elizabethtown.
It had a good soundtrack. Yancey from Sigur Rós did the soundtrack for that.
They always have good soundtracks. It's not the soundtrack that
that's the problem.
Cameron Crowe films.
It has the best soundtracks, but it's garbage.
Oh. I mean, who didn't love Fever Dog? Scratching at my door.
This is my favorite part of the show. Like, we have already reached the pinnacle, and we're only like 2 minutes in.
When I sing Fever Dog from Almost Famous.
Almost Famous.
Almost Famous.
Yeah. I mean, like, seriously, what could be better?
Yeah.
All my Paul Walker jokes are definitely going to be better.
Oh, I'm so excited.
I'm glad that you've like written a script for your comedy tonight, for like your stand-up routine tonight about Paul Walker.
Yeah.
Before we begin, though, we need to say though that like. that in our irreverence for his acting, we are reverent for his death.
Death is tragic. I just came through Good Friday and Easter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. All death is tragic. That does not automatically make him not a terrible, terrible, terrible actor.
Man, this was what I wrote down as like my final thought to make, you know, my big idea that I wanted to try to tackle with some.
I just
want to
leave everyone this.
Yeah, I was like, look, I've been wrestling with how to do this, but we started off just talking about how we all can't stand Paul Walker's acting, which I tried to explain to someone the other day, and they were like, he's dead.
It is. You kind of have to say that, though.
I'm like, I know, but like,
what does him being alive or dead have to do with how terrible he is at acting?
I mean, which is what I was trying to explain. Okay. I was like, it's incredibly sad. It's just like you said, JR. All death is tragic, but I mean,
but that doesn't make him a good actor. It's actually less respectful to him to say, "Oh, because he died, therefore
he's now a good
I'm
actor.
Going to ignore his terrible contribution to film."
Let's talk about other terrible dead actors. Let's go.
No, well, so that's the thing because there's that bar that Heath Ledger set because he did he put in his best acting and then passed away. So then we didn't have to have this conversation. You know, no one had to say, oh, well, you remember him from First Night? That was really some of the best acting I've ever seen in my life.
It wasn't, terrible acting, though.
Yeah, but it wasn't,
I mean, it wasn't, Joker level, clearly.
Exactly.
But, yeah. So but he wasn't... Heath Ledger wasn't, always a garbage actor. He just ended on, a really high note.
Yeah. I would say he was never a garbage actor. I loved him in 10 Things I Hate About You.
I wonder if what's his name? The guy from
Seymour Hoffman.
Well, that too. Actually, though,
Bogart.
His last few, Philip Seymour Hoffman's last movie wasn't
Bob Hoskins.
That good. I was
Mockingjay Part 1.
Oh no! Oh yeah, I wasn't even thinking about that one. I was thinking about what's the one he did where he's a CIA guy.
I don't know. You're not talking about the Scientology one either, right? Where he's
not L. Ron Hubbard. No. It's it's the one where he was chasing the guy.
No, I saw it. I watched it last year, and it's got a title that
I was thinking The Deadliest Year, but that's the one with one with Oscar from.
No, that's the Most Violent Year.
Oscar Isaac.
Let me look at my. This is where I believe the audience really appreciates the show, where they get to wait around for us to look up stuff.
Yeah, well, you can just cut this
out. A Most Wanted Man.
A Most Wanted Man. Yeah, that was not the best.
That was not the
best. Not the best movie or not the best acting from him?
Both.
Okay. I thought he did what he always does. Now, given I think he was playing a character that I'd seen before.
But I wonder if Daniel Day-Lewis's last movie is just going to be just the height of luxury.
If you watch it, you also die.
You also die because
can we all agree that we're pretty bummed he was not cast as Joker in Suicide Squad?
Yeah.
Daniel Day-Lewis?
Yeah.
Well, I feel like he would have literally killed a person. He would have been so into the character.
Into the method, yeah.
No, but he's so good at method acting that he wouldn't have killed somebody. He's actually good at it. That's the thing. Heath Ledger couldn't handle it because it was the first time he'd ever done it. He couldn't handle the heat. He couldn't get out of the kitchen fast enough.
Mm.
Whereas Daniel Day-Lewis, he has the line. Instead of killing somebody, he just goes and tinkers with some shoes, man. He cobbles a little bit.
On Lincoln, he didn't freak out at everyone that had a cell phone.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
I mean, I feel like I would have heard about that because that would be objectively hilarious.
Yeah, that's what Christian Bale does, right? He gets into it and people.
Yeah,
people when you say he does that, he did it one time.
Was it just one time?
Yeah, I think Christian Bale is known for being a method actor, and I think he maybe has done it once.
Huh. Well,
I mean, he lost 1,000 pounds to be in The Machinist.
That was really weird.
Maybe that was his method acting.
Didn't he do that right after he did American Psycho?
No, it was right after Batman Begins, so he was huge.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say he was pretty swolled up in American Psycho. All those push-ups and sit-ups.
All those push-ups.
I'm just saying.
And the dance moves for Huey Lewis in the News.
That's right.
Ooh.
That in itself is almost... So did Cameron Crowe direct that? Because I didn't really care for the movie all that much, but the soundtrack was great.
How did you not like American Psycho?
No, it was all right. I was trying to make a correlation.
Oh, okay.
I was making the jump.
He's making it funny.
I gotta tell you. Can I tell you guys how I got ready for this podcast?
I'm very excited to know.
You watched a Rangers game.
I did, and then I got from Arlington, which is on the southwest side of Dallas mm-hmm. to Rowlett, which is on the northeast side of Dallas, in less than an hour.
Whoa.
Yeah, I was trying to explain this because it was, you know, a couple minutes after the after time. And I was like, oh, you know, you don't have to put on your headphones yet, Griffin. JR's not here. And I'm not sure how on time he's going to be because he was, you know, and Griffin's like, oh, because he's at the game. I was like, yeah, but I don't think you understand. Like, one, baseball lasts longer than you probably think. And two,
well,
like, it's not exactly...
Not a Rangers game, though. We're not talking like a Red Sox-Yankees game going 19 innings.
We left at the seventh inning stretch, and it was 10-1.
Yeah, I was going to say, I saw them getting bludgeoned pretty bad, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, because... all my Texas friends are blaming me just because it was my first Rangers game.
Why don't they blame Rangers because they're so garbage?
I know, right?
Year.
Like,
when was the last time they were good?
Oh, when was the last time they were good? They're good, like, yeah, they've been good for, like... 6 or 7 years now. They just couldn't win any World Series.
That's what I'm talking about. When was the last time they were good? I don't care about oh, they competed. I'm talking about when did they win?
Well, they didn't win the World Series. They went back to
back. Baseball's not the only good team is not the team that wins the World Series.
Yes. Oh, sorry. I pull for the Red Sox, so it actually is the case. We're the only good team is the one that wins the World Series.
Well,
if you'll excuse me, please.
Well, I'm sorry that your first Rangers experience was not
I'm sorry that that happened.
Because I've only been to one Major League Baseball game, was, like, I'm afraid to go to another one. Because my experience was...
Really good.
Almost sublime. Who was it?
Yeah, what was the game?
So, my only game, Major League Baseball game that I've been to is a Texas Rangers game.
Okay.
And it was in Arlington.
Okay.
And...
It's a beautiful park.
Which is amazingly beautiful park.
Yeah.
And at the time,
that entrance is amazing.
You're going to keep doing this, aren't you?
No, I'm done.
Do you want to hear my story or not?
I'm done.
I feel like you're furiously interrupting, even though I'm trying to tell the story.
I'm just really mad right now. I'm having to suppress my anger.
Well, my favorite baseball player of all time, Will the Natural Clark, was playing for the Texas Rangers at the time. And not only did I get to see him play on the random day that I went, but he hit a home run. It could have only been better if he would have hit the home run to me, but it would have been a home run because it would have been foul territory. But it would have been... anyway, point being, I got to see my favorite player of all time hit a home run, which he wasn't doing a lot of by the time I got to see him, by the time he was playing for the Rangers, in a beautiful ballpark, you know, with my dad, you know, doing like the bonding thing. So it was just this... great time.
Okay.
And I'm so afraid to go to another one because I'm afraid I'll be sitting there and I'll be like, bah, 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 Rangers lost 10-1, you know, like,
see, here's the thing. I grew up rooting for the Royals and the Pirates.
Ooh.
And so I actually, no, it's good because now I can just go to a baseball game and enjoy it. It doesn't matter who wins.
You're like, yeah, whatever. I guess
it's like if we don't win, that's okay.
Well, yeah. I mean, I've because I root for teams from Pittsburgh, I just don't tell people I'm a Pirates fan because there's no... I mean, up until like the last year or so...
There's a lot of word that they're going to like be in the freaking championship this year.
Well, which, there's a lot of words.
They're not off to a hot start.
They're not off to a hot start, but I mean, it's we're fine. It's early enough in the season.
Unlike the Royals, who are undefeated.
Yeah.
Undefeated, you guys.
That's impressive.
It won't last.
I know it won't. Obviously, they're not going to win 162 games this year, Mikey. No one's saying that.
No, it sounded like you were saying that, JR.
Well, no one is like saying that.
Okay.
Don't be like so that. Fast, okay?
Well, don't defend something that didn't happen so furiously.
Anyway, the point of my story was that I drove fast and furious to get here to get set up on time. I prepared for this podcast.
Now, would you say your driving style was more of like an American muscle, or was it, you know,
I drift all the way.
You drift?
I drift.
I'm glad.
Well, okay, so we are reviewing a movie that...
Guess what it is.
Yeah, you'll never guess.
You'll never be able to figure it out.
Like, and I've had people question, like...
Why
would you review that movie?
I actually was beginning to question why we were reviewing this movie.
Well, and so I want to say this.
Until you saw it?
No. Like, after I saw it, I was like, why again are we reviewing? I mean, I get that everybody's like, everyone's seeing it.
No, well, and that's the point. Okay, yeah. So...
Awesome?
Okay, we'll talk about that too.
I think Mike is saying, we'll get to that.
We'll argue it out. So we've got tons of people seeing this movie.
Mm-hmm.
So even if this isn't like the most thematically rich or theologically, you know, hinting at some kind of big whatever that we could have seen this year. The fact that this movie did, what we say it was like $190 million
opening weekend.
Opening weekend.
A bit ridiculous.
I mean, like, if you don't understand, like, what movies do in opening weekend, like, if you get to $90 million, like, people think your movie was a huge success.
If you get to $90 million in the summer.
Yeah. And so this pre-summer.
We're talking like first weekend in April.
Yeah. So this, I mean, this is like setting box office records. People are seeing it just, you know, by the truckloads. People are seeing it multiple times. So the question, besides if there is actually anything in this film worth extrapolating, is why are people seeing this in the first place? And I mean, they've had different directors. This one's directed by James Wan, which kind of surprised me because he did The Conjuring. Yeah, he did The Conjuring. And I was like, wow, that's kind of like not a linear move that I would have been looking for, right? You know, like scariest movie I saw last year to Furious 7, you know, big budget action movie. Yeah. But, you know, that's good. I'm glad that The Conjuring, which I thought was great, got this guy who did a good job, you know, probably a nice paycheck. It's got the same people that we're used to seeing. If you've seen any of the other Fast and Furious movies, Vin Diesel, Paul Walker, that added Jason
the
Statham.
Rock!
But it's got The Rock.
If you submit.
Yeah, so. And I would argue the Fast and Furious movies didn't probably really start until The Rock was added.
Wow.
So we can have that discussion.
Wow.
And so normally I would start. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I want to make sure that I do this sort of by the book. So, for those of you really super interested in the plot of Furious 7,
too bad.
There is none. Boom!
Deckard Shaw seeks revenge against Dominic Toretto and his family for his comatose brother.
And
thank
there's
you.
A hacker.
And there's a
and
hacker.
And there's a hacker.
Yeah.
And it's not a guy.
Yeah. So, normally I would ask you guys if you enjoyed the movie. But since the entire point of the movie is to enjoy it, I asked people if they had any questions or comments, and I usually save listener questions and comments for the end of the show, but we got more than we usually do. We got more than we ever have for any movie, which in and of itself is something that we can discuss, because why are we getting more comments about this than any other movies that we would probably argue are objectively better? But obviously people are seeing it, people have questions about it.
I feel like we need to define how we define better.
Bet. Well, that's what I'm saying. Objectively.
I would question that this movie is objectively worse than many other films.
Okay. Okay. So that's what we're going to get into then. By listener questions. So I think we're going to cover that when. Okay. Let me just jump into these questions because you'll see what I'm talking about. So. On Twitter, we got three questions from Twitter. The first one was from Blake Blunkall, who said, "Why is there a 7? Did we even need to, or did there even need to be a 2?"
This is the genius of Blake's question, because
yes.
No, there did not need to be a 2, but we are so glad there was a 7.
Oh, see, I'm so glad you said that, because that was exactly what my answer was going to be. Well, I was not necessarily so glad there was a 7, but I was so glad there was at least made it till 5.
Yeah.
So
wait. Do we or do we not all agree that 6 and 7 are easily the best installments in this franchise?
I think 5. Well, okay. See, now we're skipping ahead to another question.
Sorry. Okay. Sorry.
Okay, but I didn't tell you what the questions were beforehand.
Going to talk about the mythology of the series?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
My question before that is why?
Why?
to what end? I ask you. To what end?
Because it is truly singular. It's truly singular. Name another franchise where the 7th installment is not only arguably one of the best, but also by far made the most money.
I would.
Well, is it about money? Is it about the money, though, or is it about like the fact that like they're actually keeping a story going that's been going since the beginning? Usually, I feel like once you get to 3 or 4 or 5, if you even make it that far, you're recasting half the cast, or it's like a spinoff of a thing, or it has very little to do with the actual original story.
Let's go ahead and wait till the Marvel movies start getting to that point where it's going to be like, I mean, I imagine by the next time we see an Avengers movie after May, there's going to be different characters and different cast, and you're going to be like, who are these people?
Well, we'll know by then, but it'll...
I mean, I get that, but I'm saying, like, you know, it's...
Yeah.
It's taken, you know, this movie series has been going on since, what, 2001? The first Fast and the Furious came out.
Yeah.
And we're talking about in 2015, the same people. They've only added good talent. Like, they haven't added really awful people yet.
Yeah. And in some cases, they've gotten rid of some of the bad talent.
Some of the bad talent, yes.
Whoever that might be.
Those two Brazilian guys.
But no, what were you saying, Jared?
Oh, I think it's hilarious and awesome, like, how they got from 3 to 4 through 7.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to talk about that?
Sure, go ahead.
Should we talk about now?
Well, yeah, because this is kind of the question. Like, the brilliance of the question is probably unintended, because I'm pretty sure Blake doesn't like these movies.
Blake, I'm disappointed in you.
But, you know, his question on the surface is, you know, why is there a 7? Did we even need to be a 2? Kind of being like, didn't we say all we needed to say in Fast and Furious? Do we really need to continue this story? But I think, JR, you actually hit on what I was going to, the point that I would want to make, which is, you know, did we need a 7? Sure, but only because 2 led us to, you know, there eventually. So, go.
Yeah, so if somehow you have managed to avoid this franchise, first of all, I pity you. And believe me, I would never have said that before Fast 6. I was a hater. Like, really? I was such a hater.
Okay.
So I hated the first one, never saw the second one, didn't see the third one, and then finally I was dragged into 5 kicking and screaming and tolerated it. And then love 6 and 7.
I love that you just glossed over 4. You didn't even...
Yeah.
Like, you hated... You were at that point, you cared so little that you didn't even acknowledge that it existed.
Well, I'm pretty sure most everyone glossed over 4.
I mean, Fast 4 was the most pointless movie in the series.
Yeah, and so what the crazy thing is that, you know, in the first one, it's whatever. It's a car movie, blah, 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 who cares? It's got Paul Walker and Vin Diesel in it. Neither one of them's winning an Oscar, right? And well,
definitely
then,
not one of them.
And then that was low. That was mean.
That was rough.
I won't go there again.
It's true, but that doesn't make it nice.
Yeah.
The second film didn't have Vin Diesel in it. It only had Paul Walker, so they took out like the one good thing about the first movie,
mm-hmm.
right? Added in this whole other cast of characters, Ludacris, Tyrese, right, the Brazilian guys. And then the third one jettisoned everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it went to Tokyo, and you had all these new characters, and there was, like, literally no reason to even call it Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, which happens with a lot of franchises.
Right. That's Mikey, what you were talking about, right? Like, by the third film, like, it just completely jumped ship and was this whole different thing. Not even the same styles of cars.
Yeah.
All this stuff. Who was the director? It was not James Wan. It was Justin Lin, right?
Justin Lin.
So they give Justin Lin. Yeah. And then it blew everyone's mind that cared about these movies at the time, which was not me, but in the post-credit sequence or whatever. Han dies in the middle of the movie, like in a race, like his car crashes as they're drifting, and he dies, whatever. And then at the end of the movie, Vin Diesel appears out of nowhere, and he's like, let's talk, kid. And everyone's like, what? So then in Fast and Furious 4, which I think is just called Fast and Furious, right?
Is that the one? Yeah.
One. Everyone's back from both of the first two films. And Han from the third one is in the movie, who died in the third movie.
Yeah, completely and alive and walking around.
Yeah, and so at some point, everyone realizes this is a prequel, and there's some sort of, like, mythological universe being built. Like, and it's just like, wait, what movie are we watching right now?
Like, yeah, this is really the template for the Marvel Universe. They're like, wait a minute.
Probably, right? And so in 4, 5, and 6, Han keeps saying he wants to go to Tokyo, wants to go to Tokyo. And then you're like, don't go there, Han! You died there, right? And so then in Fast 6... Han falls in love with Wonder Woman, and then she dies. Spoiler alert!
I'm so glad you call her Wonder Woman.
Yeah,
too.
I'm so glad you call her Wonder Woman, because I thought you were going to try to say her name, and I was going to be like, Wonder Woman,
Gal Gadot. Yeah,
yeah, Gal Gadot.
Or Giselle in the movie.
Yeah, Giselle in the movie, and then Gal Gadot.
Yeah,
And then, so she dies, and he's sad, and he's going to go to Tokyo. And then in the post-credit sequence, you see that Han's accident was not an accident, that he was actually murdered by Jason Statham.
What?
And so it totally sets up the stinger for 7. And so, of course, 7, you get everything kind of ties back together, and now Fast 7 is finally caught up to Tokyo Drift and is now happening after it. So just like, I mean, that is way too much explanation and mythology for movies about cars. Right?
Like. No, it is. And so this is one of those things where you have to watch it. Oh man, I had a great example of this. Like, do you watch it like in the way it came out, or do you watch it chronologically?
Yeah, it's like the Chronicles of Narnia, right?
Let's say, when you watch it, do you choose to watch it by release, or do you watch it by chronology?
Honestly,
you
know, all the I'm nerds watch it chronology. You know, just watch 5, 6, and 7.
Yeah, well, that's what I'd probably say, too.
Yeah. Maybe
watch the first one, just so you can appreciate...
How far they've come.
You know?
It's like, honestly, it's like that line that gets made, that Kurt Russell makes to Vin Diesel in that scene, where he's like, I was impressed with what you've done. But now, I'm like, super impressed.
Yeah.
That's why these movies, particularly the last couple, are so great, is because they know what they're doing, they know exactly what they are, and they just go for it, and they just be it, and they don't care.
Well, and see, that's what I thought. I would say that I was tricked at best. Maybe they... I don't know how much credit to give them, that's the problem. Like, when I watched Fast 5, I was like, this is so much better than any of the other ones.
Yeah.
Did this, what we were talking about earlier, did they basically just want to put Vin Diesel and The Rock in a movie together? And they were like, we got this Fast and Furious franchise laying around.
It's interesting that Justin Lin came on with 3 and then helmed it through 6. I think there's something going... I think that dude's a really sharp filmmaker. And I think it matters that...
Well, it certainly looks like, yeah, he had a hand in it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so I would, like, looking back, like, you know, hindsight, yes, I would say that, you know, they kind of knew all along. But I certainly thought, once I watched Fast 5, I was like, why did I enjoy this?
I mean, the guy did direct two episodes of the new True Detective series.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, we are going to see just how sharp of a filmmaker he is, like, this season.
Well, and you know that in Fast 5, well, obviously from the moment they have Han in Fast and Furious and he's talking about Tokyo, you know that they have a plan. Right? I mean, they're not going to do all of that and then just leave you hanging.
But that's the thing. I thought they just didn't care. I thought they were like, we made a mistake by thinking the series was never going to resurrect. And so we just gave you the car drifting movie to catch the people that we didn't catch yet. And so I thought they were just kind of like, let's pretend that didn't happen. But like I said, in hindsight, I was like, well, it looks like it was playing the whole time.
Yeah.
So let me ask another question. Because I think this is kind of what we're leading into and we're kind of touching on already. But Aaron White asks us to give him our rankings of the films in the series. Do you need a second? Either of you?
I'm ready.
I'm ready. I'll let...
Go for it, Griff.
Okay, you want me to go for it?
Yeah, go for it.
All right, so here's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to do Fast 5.
Wait, is this worst to best?
This is best to worst.
Best to worst. Okay.
I'll do worst to best.
Okay.
You already know the end. Okay. Yeah. Worst. I think 2 is the worst. All right. I really didn't like that movie. I think 4 is useless and pointless.
Mm-hmm.
I think 1 just, I mean, it was a movie made in 2001. It wasn't, what did you expect, really? And there was like no redeeming qualities to that movie other than like the cars.
Mm-hmm.
I actually really liked 3. I honestly like, I thought it was like funny and quirky that this like redneck guy is in Japan, just like,
man,
do his thing with little Bow Wow. You know, you got a little Bow Wow in there. What more do you need in life? And then I'm gonna say
things I thought no one would ever say.
And then I'm gonna say 6, 7, 5.
6, 7, 5.
Yeah, I like 7 a lot. I felt like, I mean, I'm trying to think. Oh, it's like, okay. I'll liken it to the first time I saw Pacific Rim, and in this, I got done watching that movie and I was like, that was ridiculous. And they know it's ridiculous. Like, they all exactly. are very much aware yeah. that this is crazy. Like, The Rock pulled, like, a Terminator and, like, held up a Gatling gun and just shot at a plane for, like, 30 seconds of this movie.
Why? You could have just stopped with The Rock did, and yeah. I would have been like, I'm on board with whatever you
yeah.
just said.
Yeah. I mean, like, he broke out of a cast by flexing his muscles. Yeah. Like, I'm like, this movie knows it's crazy, it knows it's ridiculous, and like, they're okay with it. They know their audience really okay. well.
So for the most part, to kind of sum up the way that you rank these films,
yeah.
is of the what we'll call like the older films, which is 1 through 4, you think Tokyo Drift is probably the best?
I feel like just because it's sets up, enjoyable. I feel like it was the most enjoyable for me, and I thought it was funny. I thought it was like really, I thought it was kind of ridiculous. That mm-hmm. And I also like, I mean, I feel like it just, it was a good car movie. Like, it was really neat. Like, it brought like this idea of like drifting, which I'd never like known about, and mm-hmm. and I mean, I think I told you this, Mikey. Like, this is like probably the first movie I was in fifth grade when these when Fast and Furious came out. So I would have been, you know, a young lad, you know, and I think that was like the first PG-13 movie I was allowed to see, probably. So, you know, it's a long time, and you and JR are probably like talking over Skype right now. And I don't like.
Well, he wishes that you could see what he was typing. So,
oh, okay.
I'm surprised that you didn't know drifting from Mario Kart.
There you go.
Oh,
see, I was
like, a drifting fool in Mario.
Yeah,
still, it wasn't called drifting. It wasn't called drifting at that point.
Well, I mean, that's what you're doing. I mean,
you didn't call it drifting.
You don't drive around Donut Island and, you know,
why you lose all the time, Griffin.
All I want to do is talk about 200cc Mario Kart now. Like, no. That's all I want to talk about.
No, skip it. Okay, so JR, how would you rank these films?
I'm going to go best to worst. 7, 6, 5, who cares?
That works. Just straight up, who cares?
Yeah. 7, 6, 5. I do not care.
Huh. Okay. So you see these films, you know, to sum up again, you see these films as like one long graph of ever increasing goodness.
Yeah. And like specifically because they barely even try to make sense.
Oh yeah.
Almost. Almost not at all. Like the people are superheroes. Literally none of the things that they do are actual things that any real person could do and not die.
Mm-hmm. I really like that. Either you said that or someone else just recently. No, yes, I was listening to a review of this, and they said the first thing you need to do is realize this isn't like just a normal action movie. This is a superhero movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and as soon as you realize this is a superhero movie and people are doing things that normal people can't walk away from, then you're kind of able to enjoy it on a different kind of ridiculous level.
Yeah. Yeah.
I recently watched 6 with a couple of friends who hadn't seen it because they wanted to go see 7 like on.
You're like, oh, trust me, you're going to need this content.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, by the way, you're definitely, come over. I have HBO Go. We can watch it and you can see, you know, understand where we came from here.
Yeah.
And so we're watching it, and there's like the first time that someone lands in a car at like 100 miles an hour, like they just like go flying in their back, like lands in a windshield. Yeah. And my friend looks over at me, he goes, "You would be drinking out of a straw for the rest of your life." And I was like, Vin Diesel just got up from that.
That's right. Scene in Fast 6 with the tank where Michelle Rodriguez ends up flying out of the car.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh yeah,
and Vin grabs her,
he catches her in midair over like between the two bridges,
between the overpass. And then hits a windshield, and my friend looks over me and goes, "You would be drinking out of a straw for the rest of your life."
No, hey, you would. Not Vin Diesel.
You're like, don't you realize? I mean, if Groot can survive an exploding spaceship, I'm sure he can jump across a bridge and land on a car.
Well,
it's not that he jumped across,
Groot,
Mikey. It's that he used a car to throw him across.
He used a car to launch himself across.
Actually, the thing that really got me about 6, I know we're not necessarily talking about 6, was how cool the very last scene was, but how also ridiculously long that runway was.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, did they just, like, was it just a racetrack trying to take off?
That was just like a 30-mile runway. And I'm like, why is this runway so long?
There are actually some really excellent, and by excellent I mean hilarious, fan theories that try to justify how, they try to put all the different things that were happening simultaneously that they just keep cutting to prove that it was a normal length runway. And I'm like, guys,
Nope.
You were watching the wrong movie.
Yeah. Well, no. It's not even that. It's like, guys, why are you thinking about it so hard?
That's what I'm saying. Like, you.
Yeah, I think you missed the
don't,
point.
Don't.
No. Okay, so, I almost want to jump in the exact same way that you did, JR, with the, you know, who cares about 1 through 4. But, I mean, I do think 4 was basically a waste of time. 2 didn't have Vin Diesel in it.
Because, hold on, did Michelle Rodriguez...
That's when she did her thing.
Did she die-ish in 4?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, but you didn't... Like, I don't really know why you... Ah, man, that whole thing... I mean, I feel like that whole story right there, Michelle Rodriguez dying-ish and coming back, was, like, for one line at the end of Fast 7. Like,
well, I mean, but it was like almost all of what Fast 6 was based on.
Yeah, and they tagged it at the end of 5. That was the post-credit spoiler.
Don't know that I.
So,
can.
but that all that does is kind of like we're talking about Tokyo Drift being like premeditated going into the next ones. You know, obviously the Michelle Rodriguez thing is or Letty, you know, is this thing that we're paying attention to because they knew about it and they were planning on doing this thing with it. So, like, besides that, like I said, it was mostly pointless. The, you know, 2
Hang
was...
on. If Letty didn't die, we would not have gotten that sweet fight between her and Gina Carano in 6.
In 6.
That was good. And then the Ronda... What? Okay, Ronda Rousey, come on. That was unnecessary.
Oh, in 7?
In 7.
Yeah,
what is up with that?
I don't know why you even brought
the word unnecessary.
Yeah, I was going to say, what was it? what was necessary? If they didn't do anything with it, or, well, the fact that they that is what set up stuff later was the only part of 4 that was good. So it wasn't actually the movie itself. It was basically how it made something else happen.
Okay.
Right. Two was, to me, as bad as 1, except it didn't have Vin Diesel in it, which made it worse.
Even worse.
Paul Walker was supposed to carry the movie.
It was even nobody. Basically, it was just Paul Walker, right?
And then they introduced some of the other characters that we
but
see.
But, like, you didn't see Mia, you didn't see Letty,
So 3, while I understand where Griffin's coming from with it being, you know, more entertaining and funny-ish, like, it had that redneck guy in it who I think is a terrible actor. Like, I mean, like, when they were like, I guess we can't get Paul Walker to come back, so we'll get this guy.
Can we find anyone else who acts worse
than
him?
Anyone be worse than this guy?
And so, you know, he basically ruins any semblance of enjoying that movie. And then there's the first one, which I remember seeing and being like, well, that was a movie about cars. You know? But then there's this huge shift, and I've already mentioned it. Like, so we have 5, 6, and 7, and so when it comes to them, to me, 7 hits next, and then 6, and then 5. They basically go in reverse order, and I think there's 2 main reasons for that. The reason 5, 6, and 7 are at the top of my list is because of The Rock. The Rock comes in and instantly gives this whole franchise a boost and gives them something to kind of work with besides just like a basic caper or driving fast against another person who's driving fast. So it gives the world a little more oomph. The reason that 7 is at the bottom of those 3 is, I think, not 7's fault. And this is one of the things that I wanted to make, a point that I wanted to make at the beginning, because when I see the Fast and the Furious movies, especially since 5, they always are going to do something ridiculous. Something that we could say is unnecessary. You know? But it's ridiculous, and I'm wondering what kind of ridiculous thing. I'm on the edge of my seat saying, what kind of ridiculous thing are they going to do to get out of this already, you know, highly ridiculous situation? I saw very few trailers for Fast 5. I saw very few trailers for Fast and the Furious 6. So when those things happened, I was surprised when Vin Diesel's flying through, launches himself through the air, catches Letty and lands on a hood, or, you know, when they blow up out of a plane that's on a 30-mile runway, all that was surprising to me, and so there was a payoff for me wondering. In 7, they put all the good stuff in the trailer. And so there's lots of points in Seven where they're like,
hold on,
what are they going to do? What are they going to do?
Did The Rock rock bottom somebody in the trailer?
It didn't.
Okay, then the best thing was not in the trailer.
Well,
The Rock used the rock bottom.
It should have been.
He basically used the people's elbow.
But see, that's the thing. The rock bottom shouldn't have been the best part of the movie. Oh, the best part of the movie should have been a car flying between two buildings, like some ridiculous amount of floors up. The best part of the movie should have been us wondering how they're going to get to this stretch of road, seeing them all talking, wondering where they're at, and then have the realization that they're in the back of an airplane. That should have been the things that were like, what? What? You know, but there was none of that. I'm basically just saying, like, when are we going to get to the part where he steals the car and drives out a window? So I think, unfortunately, my non-love of the ridiculousness of Seven mostly had to do with the fact that I already knew what the ridiculous part was. And not that there weren't a couple other ridiculous parts. The Rock had a couple ridiculous parts that weren't in the trailer. But for the most part, it wasn't that joy of ridiculousness like Six or Five. So
that's interesting. It didn't ruin any of that enjoyment.
Really?
Yeah.
Because like the whole time that Paul Walker and Vin Diesel, I feel like I should be talking about them like they have characters, but they're basically just Paul Walker and Vin Diesel. They're in the Sultan's Tower or whatever, and they're like, can we get it? Can we steal it? Can we do it? I'm like, when's the part where you're just going to drive it out a window? And when they get to the next building, where are we going to go now? I'm like, when's the part where you drive it out of a window again? I mean, like, anyway, so, but that's part of a reason that the movies appeal to me. They raise the ridiculous. It's highly entertaining.
Yeah.
But I'll ask a side question, and then we can fully address why we enjoy the movies. Because on Facebook, Mary Nunn probably very ironically asks, so we can give her our opinion, because I know she's probably listening to see if she should see this film. How many jiggly butts will I see if I watch that movie, with the parenthetical statement that she's hoping for at least 50? Will she be disappointed?
I'm going to assume she's seen the other ones. And what I think is, again, very interesting about Justin Lin's films and James Wan, I think, followed suit, was they give you like one scene of that to like sate all of the, I don't know, original fans, I guess. But
well, it's not the original fans so much as, like, I mean, go to Barnes & Noble and pick up a car magazine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is the people, the car fans, like, the people who come to those movies just to see that car drive really fast in a movie. Like, those people are the ones...
Those people?
Are the ones
what
buying
do you mean
those
people,
hey, are the ones buying those magazines and, like, interested in those things. I mean, they are attracting that. I mean, that's what the movies, I think, I mean, I imagine that's what the Fast and the Furious was initially intended for, was to sate that population that wants those
Okay. But what I'm hearing JR say is most of those films have one section, like an isolated section that takes care of all the butt jiggling and all the, you know, scantily clad ladies, and then they move on.
In Fast 6, it was the street race where Vin Diesel mm-hmm. goes and finds Letty.
Yeah.
And races her. And then other than that, there was not another scene like that. In this one, I guess we have a couple.
I would push back.
We have the Iggy Azalea cameo desert random party.
Race Wars.
Mm-hmm. And then you have like the party in Abu Dhabi.
Uh-huh.
Do you have more than that?
Well, you have like the oogling beach scene.
Oh, yeah.
Like where they're all talking to
where they're all talking about the hacker.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so I felt like they're... Usually I never notice, for whatever poor reason. Maybe I'm anesthetized to this, you know,
kind of stuff. It wasn't as like... I mean, in Fast 6, that race scene was not long. Like, the race scene... Like, the scene leading up to the race wasn't very long mm-hmm. in Fast 6. And that was the only scene in that entire movie that oogles it.
Well, then, see, so that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like... For someone to imply that I'm being prudish for noticing it in Fast 7 or Furious 7, I'm like, wait a minute. But I almost never like notice this stuff. I know, you know, most people probably should. So I'm not saying that my lack of noticing is good.
Yeah.
I'm saying that it's odd that I would actually notice it. And I would say, JR, like, I feel like I agree with you, because most of these, I think, Fast and Furious movies... Typically, like, they have like the one race where they come at night and they have all the girls doing their thing, and then they kind of move on from that. And, you know, the rest of the movie is mostly about them. With, I mean, with attractive ladies, but they're not doing, like, the bikini thing or the dancing in cages thing or the painting gold thing.
Yeah,
but
they're hacking and punching and...
Yeah, they're doing something that wasn't is not necessarily and inherently driving. Sexual. And driving, you know. But this one was like, they're almost everywhere they went, there was like, hey, let's stop and realize there's jiggly butts here and move on from that to the next scene. But then we go somewhere else and there's more of it. And maybe that's just the ever-escalating nature of these films. You know, you have something crazy, so the next movie you have to top it. And so you don't have to top it just with dialogue. Like, you have to have more over-the-top lines. You have to have more over-the-top car stunts, more over-the-top car crashes, and more, you know, items of a sexual nature in each one. And maybe Seven just finally got to the point where I noticed. Mm. I mean, like did it not strike you at all? Like, that there was maybe more of it in this movie?
No, it did not strike me. I think that whenever I think about it in the context of, like...
this type of movie?
The first three.
Mm-hmm.
When you should go back and watch the... Well, maybe you shouldn't.
No, you shouldn't, but...
But, like, if you were to go back and watch the first three, you would recognize that there was a lot more jiggly butts in the first three.
I just like the fact that we're getting away with saying jiggly butts a lot.
Yeah.
Like, I think the core question would be, how many times can I make you guys say jiggly butts on the one episode of the podcast?
And maybe that's why you faked this, like, Facebook question.
Yeah, like, who is Mary Nunn? Does she even exist?
Does she even exist? Is she a real person?
Actually, in my written review for Let There Be Movies, I use the phrase gyrating posteriors.
Gyrating posteriors. Okay.
You know, I wanted to make sure that I was...
you're being PC about it.
Being considerate of, you know, all manner of viewer or reader.
And that's fine. I mean, but I also... I mean, I'm also going to say... if you have seen the first three,
mm-hmm.
and you're coming to any of the future movies, like, assuming that that's not going to be there anywhere,
mm-hmm.
you're just fooling yourself.
Just fooling yourself?
Yeah. I mean...
You think it's a fair statement, JR?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But I also, man, I don't know. I've not ever hung out with either Justin Lin or James Wan, but I definitely in some ways feel like they were trying to make a film that was better than that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That's a weird way to say it, but...
Yeah. Well, okay, so... having addressed that to some degree, this is the question that I think... Even if we can pick some things out in a little bit... that most people are wondering... that has to do with kind of like, why are we even reviewing this? Why are we even talking about this movie in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
On this type of... you know, finger quotes, this type of podcast. Besides the fact that it made a gajillion dollars... And that is at Jay and Lincoln asked on Twitter, is it okay to have enjoyed that ridiculous movie as much as I did?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, I mean, I don't see
a reason. What is it about this movie that's enjoyable? Like, why is it when we should have probably some discretion about like what we choose to see or not see, when we can choose to vote with our dollar what we want to see more of, we're choosing to see a movie about Deckard Shaw seeks revenge against Dominic Toretto and his family. You know, what is it about the Fast and Furious movies that makes us want to go see them and wants us to justify that it's okay that we enjoyed them?
I guess I don't see what's wrong with enjoying like a fun, dumb movie that doesn't take itself too seriously, that knows what it's doing and does it really well. How's that different from a Marvel movie?
Come on, Marvel movies are pretty deep, you know, say like you start going to those things where you start justifying what you think is okay and not okay.
Yeah. You're like, but the Marvel movies like have a really good storyline. Yeah. It's like, yeah, but I mean and I mean arguably I think we could say the Marvel movies have better scripts. Yeah, sure. I mean, what?
But they're supposed
to. Name a movie that doesn't have a better script. But they're meant to. Like, this movie isn't. And I think I had this conversation with Mikey yesterday, like Monday, right? We were talking, and I was saying, like, the thing that I really love about this movie and about Fast 6, and I think Fast 5, I haven't seen it in a while, so I don't remember. But, like, those movies do a lot more showing and than telling. Like, I don't have to have the volume on to know what's going on. And maybe that's a really bad thing.
So what you're saying is that the dialogue functions as more or less another special effect.
Yes. No, I'm saying that it's impressive that they are able to get words out at all.
Well, I'm surprised sometimes that you can even understand what Vin Diesel's saying.
But no, I'm saying, like, I mean, from the visual perspective, I know, like, if I was just to pick up Fast 6 and watch it, I would know who the bad guys are, who the good guys are, and every aspect of what's happening, because it hits the point. It doesn't stop and, like, give you a 30-minute synopsis of why cars run. Christopher Nolan, like, that's what he would do. He's like, here's how the combustion engine works. And I'd be like, I don't really need to know that. Thanks, Nolan. But, you know, it's a matter of, like, here's a story. We don't ask the audience to, like, playing down to the audience. It's simply just saying, we don't expect you to understand anything. You can just come to this and enjoy the idea of, like, a Hot Wheels car going up a speedway, wrecking, and, like, I mean, and that's the thing, is, like, I grew up playing with cars. Like, I know what they do. I know how they work. Mm-hmm. I know how they wreck. I've watched, you know, enough NASCAR races in my life to know how that happens. And so, you know, it's they don't expect anything out of you. And so I think that to say, oh, I enjoyed this, it's like, yeah, we didn't have to work for it. Mm-hmm. Like, none of us had to work to watch this movie.
Well, so does it inherently say anything about humanity or American society, or, well, I mean, I guess it's everybody. It's not just like America that loves these movies, that we are so attracted to dumb movies, like, or are we just thinking about it too hard?
Yeah, but see, here's the thing: Need for Speed tanked.
Yeah,
there are.
But they're still making another one.
Are they?
Yeah,
really.
But that's what I'm saying. Ridiculous. There are tons of dumb movies that don't do well.
Okay,
there are no dumb movies that do this well.
But so that's the implication then. So this movie is dumb, or is it? Like, what is it about this dumb movie that separates itself from Need for Speed? Like, what does it have something? Is it just like it happened to be the first one that we remember, that it has come along at the right time? Or does it actually tell a story that we care about? Do we care about the characters?
I honestly think a big part of it is the cast.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're looking at, I mean, whenever they cast Vin Diesel into this, I mean, he was an action hero as big as Jason Statham at that point. I mean, you look at, he was in, like, what, XXX? What was the other stuff that he was in? That was
Pitch, like, Black.
Pitch Black. Mm-hmm. I mean, huge action.
Saving Private Ryan. I mean,
but, like, huge action movies that, like, that highlighted, that was in the era of, like, let's highlight, like, Transporter. Let's, mm-hmm. like, these movies that do exactly, yeah. So you have this, it's the same thing with, like, Taken. Why is another Taken movie being made? It's these reasons, exactly.
And but so, that would be different, though, right? Because the Taken movies have gotten progressively worse. Arguing the Fast and Furious.
I'm saying it's the same idea that, like, people still go see the stuff. Like, progressively worse, yeah, but people were still going to pay to see the movie for some reason.
Do you think it's possible that The Rock will be in Taken eventually?
No.
And then the Taken franchise will be way better?
He's like, you've gone too far.
Work with Liam Neeson.
Yeah, I don't know. But I don't know. I mean, I feel like the family aspect of these stories is pretty enticing. I mean, it every single movie, like, makes a point to highlight family. I don't know that that's, like, the reason that we care mm-hmm. about it so much, but, like, whether they're good characters, I'm not saying that they're, like, well crafted characters, mm-hmm. but, like, we care about them. We care about the fact that, like, Letty came back. We care about the fact that Jesse dies in the first movie. I don't know how many of you remember that guy, that character, but, I mean, I felt like, I remember watching the first movie and being, like, really sad that this guy gets shot on the front lawn of their house. Like, and, you know, as you get further in the movies, you care about, like, I made the comment right after seeing Furious 7 for the first time. I was like, I never thought a Fast and the Furious movie could make grown men cry. But there were people in the audience crying that were adult mm-hmm. men, like.
I mean, not real men.
Yeah, I mean, clearly. But, like, I mean, it was just like, I was like, this is a movie. Like, why are we, oh, that's right. Like, this guy died. A lot of these people in this audience have probably seen every Fast and the Furious movie. Mm-hmm. Whether Paul Walker was a good actor or not, they cared about him as a person and thought, like, oh, this is, you know, this is sad that he's not going to be around. Like, I don't know. I feel like family's a big aspect of it.
Well, and I in the review that I got to do about it, like, I felt like I was kind of grasping at straws, but I did realize that when I thought about the theme or the kind of underlying compulsion of this movie, or the thing that they wanted to highlight, if nothing else, look at the trailer. Yeah. Look at where they kind of stopped the film to have Vin Diesel give his, like, you know, rumbly voice lines. It does surround a family, and I remember going, oh my gosh, is this basically just, like, do people love this movie for the same reason they love Firefly? It's all about found family. You know, like, some people are blood relative. You know, there's the Toretto's, you know, but then there's the people who've just come along from movie to movie and been ushered into this family, and Vin Diesel, being, like, the surrogate father, will do anything to protect them. And as corny as it is when he says, you know, I don't have friends, I have family.
Yeah.
There's something poetic about it. There's something slightly beautiful about it.
Real world listeners, please note that Mikey just called Vin Diesel a poet.
I said there's something poetic about it, but, like, there's lots of bad poetry. So,
oh, noetry.
This is like the, like, this is Vin Diesel doing, like, the roses are red, violets are blue, I drive a fast car.
Oh, yeah, so because,
you know,
that's actually one of the things that makes me roll my eyes in this movie is every time they need to take a break and have a theme moment, they just go, family, family, family.
I am family.
Oh, I think they might be a family.
Well, that's why it's probably you should take Griffin's suggestion from earlier and watch the movie with no sound. And you'll just skip that part. You're like, friends.
Yeah,
these guys just look like, what is this, like a con? Are they just, yeah, are they just pulling a job?
Well, I mean, like, so it does that, but I think it does that superhero kind of thing that, like, people come together, that team comes together and overcomes adversity. I mean, like, there are things that we want to see the bad guys lose, we want to see the good guys win, we want to
see the bad guys crushed and shot, yeah, and punched and blown up and crushed again.
Exactly, because we all believe in redemptive violence.
Yeah. I think it matters that the cast is so diverse. I think that contributes a lot to these films' success. Name another Hollywood blockbuster. You don't even have to name a successful one, where the bad guys are all white and none of, like, one of the good guys is white, and half of the good guys are good girls. I mean, Avengers can't even say that. All of the Avengers are white.
Mm-hmm.
Unless Falcon gets to join up in Avengers 2.
He does.
And there's only one woman, except, again, we'll probably get Scarlet Witch. But, I mean, like,
we will.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that's...
No, okay.
Like, let's talk about Avengers for a little bit.
No, stop.
This film's franchise, from the beginning, has been incredibly diverse. And most of the team is non-white.
I think that only backs up kind of, like, the thing that, you know, was annoying to you, or what sounds like annoying to you. Like, there is this concept of, like, you know, all nations, you know, all creeds, all people can come in and be a part of this thing.
To be clear, that's not annoying to me. I find it hilarious that we talk about how it shows instead of tells, except it feels like, and when anytime it comes to family, it needs to tell us loudly and repeatedly.
Just in case you forgot.
Ad nauseum.
Well, but I think that for them, they're assuming that Furious 7 is bringing a lot of people who've never seen any of the movies prior to this. Because if you saw it...
They try to do it a little bit in every movie. You kind of have to do that when you write a film, unless you're like George Lucas and you don't care. Like,
yeah.
Or Peter Jackson and, like, The Last Hobbit, when you're like, yeah, you probably watched the other ones or you wouldn't be here. So let me give you no context.
Because, I mean, I think you have those lines where, like, Toretto's like, you're going to be a good father to my nephew. It's like, we know you're related.
We're brothers now. You've always been my brother.
Yeah. It's something where it's like, no. We get that he's with her and she's the brother. Like, we all understand this. And I think maybe it's just some of it is really, I mean, I get that to some degree they're really, like, hammering some things home that we already understand it. But I think maybe we're assuming that everybody's seen previous Fast and Furious movies
Yeah.
And maybe most people haven't. Or well, maybe...
I don't know. It's hard to imagine that you've gotten this far and you haven't at least watched 5, 6, and 7.
Okay. It's hard for me to imagine that you went to 7 without seeing any of the other ones.
Yeah. Not because you needed context, but
what if you just turned 13 and you just now...
Then you would have... You'd have been like, on 13 day, you'd have been like, Mom, I need 5 and 6 on DVD. I'm going to download this from iTunes right now. I got it on the Google Play Store. It's already ready. It's queued up.
It's already ready.
Mom's... My birthday. Okay, well... So, to wrap up, let's talk about the things that we think are ridiculous, okay?
Instead of the things that we love.
Well, we'll talk about the things we love, too.
What are the most ridiculous things?
And this is the beauty. This is why I was looking forward to this part of this show. Mm-hmm. Because the ridiculous parts are actually supposed to be our favorite parts. So, I'm looking for something else, you know? Give me something that's not ridiculous, because, you know, when a car jumps from building to building, that in a normal movie would be the ridiculous part, you know? That's our, come on, a car flying from building to building? But that's the whole point of this movie.
Yeah.
So what was it that just didn't work for you in a movie that's supposed to be ridiculous, JR?
Yeah, I thought it was hilarious that...
I love where this is going already.
Wherever... they went. It was like Jason Statham was just 10 minutes behind them. I felt like I had just seen It Follows, and that's what I felt like. I was like, no matter where you are, Jason Statham is 10 minutes away from you.
I was like, Jason Statham didn't even need the hacking device. Like,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah, like,
whatever he was doing, just do what he was doing.
Like, we skydived cars out of an airplane because this place was inaccessible any other way except by Jason Statham.
Statham like wasn't like even phased. He's like, of course I'll just build a dune buggy.
He's like, I was in the transporter. Of course I got this.
I got this. This is no problem. All right. I do not understand why we needed that other villain, Mosa Wakanda.
Oh, yeah.
Why is he even... Jason Statham was plenty.
You tired of white guys always being the bad guy?
Wish it would happen more.
Well, I think that was my problem with it. Was I was like, why does there need to be like an African like warlord as a bad?
Someone's got to be trying to buy the hacking device.
Yeah, why can't you just make it Jason Statham with his money? Yeah,
because he didn't care about the hacking device. He was
then why do you need a hacking device?
Yeah, didn't even see the movie.
Well, actually, that was a question I had. I was like, I felt like there were two plots in this movie.
Why do you need a hacking device at all in this movie?
There I'm with you. That was entirely...
Why do you need that entire storyline? Like, yeah. I do not understand.
Because honestly, can you think of a good reason for them to skydive out of a plane unless they're trying to get the hacking device?
Yeah, no, but...
I'm sure I can come up with a few.
Why didn't we just wait to... Like I said, there needed to be either them versus Jason Statham as a movie... And cut this movie to, like, a lean hour and 40 minutes.
Yeah, I think just lean this movie up.
Or
2 hours or and 20 minutes,
make
right?
Fast and Furious 8 and just have the, you know, the we have, like, Mr. Nobody comes in, makes fun of the movie series in every line that he says, and we all laugh for the meta humor, and have the hacking device story as Furious 8.
The post-credit scene of Fast 7... is someone sends Vin Diesel like some kind of email worm and then it just says LOL and he's like, I got hacked.
I assume he wouldn't even know how to check email. Like,
why do you assume that? Because he's a
car guy?
Knows
how to check email.
No, just because, you know, it seems like, I don't think he would make a computer family. I don't think he would bother with it.
Yeah, why would he need to use a computer? I can't imagine a place where Toretto needs to use a computer.
Yeah, he's got Ludacris. If Ludacris is
obviously Paul Walker and his wife's sister took their nephew and left, so he's got to be on Facebook now so we can see pictures of them.
Oh.
That's just off the top of my head. Same reason my grandma needs a computer. Okay?
The exact same reason.
The only reason.
Grandma Toretto.
Grandma Toretto.
Forrester. Well, actually,
he's like, I'm trying to see my nephew. I got to send him a toy car. Charger, because you're American Muscle, kid.
That's right.
Because he's a Toretto.
You don't need one of those import pieces of crap. crap, crap, crap.
Yeah.
Okay, so we started the podcast off with this, but I'm going to clarify this. And this is my things I could have done without in a movie about ridiculous things. Oh, gosh.
All death is tragic.
All death is tragic.
I mean it.
But, and so people who review this movie or come out of this movie and tell me that the tribute to Paul Walker was the sweetest thing in the entire world
are wrong.
I can't see it. Like, when they were on the beach towards the end, and they all kind of had a little bit of FaceTime to kind of say goodbye. I said, okay, that was actually pretty. That was okay. They all saw him playing in the surf or whatever.
Griffin, are you crying?
He is kind of crying a little bit.
I've got a stuffy nose.
Yeah, I'm cutting onions. Yeah, I'm cutting onions. So I was kind of okay with that, and I was like, "Oh, well, that was that." The reviewers were right. That actually was kind of a touching little thing. Everyone kind of had their chance to say goodbye, and then Vin Diesel got in a car, and then Paul Walker superimposed head got shown up, and then they drove off into the sunset, and then we got a Sarah McLachlan montage, and that Sarah McLachlan montage I started laughing. I really did. I'm so sad that, you know, all death is tragic. But I don't know what song it was that was playing, but all I heard was like, "In the arms of an angel,
you raise me up." I was hoping for some Puff Daddy at that point.
Yeah. Like, "I'll see you when I get there. You know, if you ever get there." You know, like, yeah. Jiggle what? You know.
Stop.
Like, I was just saying, that's stop. What I expected. That's no, all stop. I heard. It was so, so terrible. And that ruined it for me. Like, I was so happy that, because, you know, we were basically, it was like an episode of South Park through most of the movie. I was waiting for them to kill Kenny. And, like, you know, because, like, almost the only person that ever was, like, in danger of dying this entire movie was Paul Walker.
Every you know? Time, and you were like, is it?
It was like, was that it? Was that it? And then they never did. And I was like, you know, that's cool. They let him get it right off in the sunset, and that's cool. But that montage, that was awful.
Superfluous.
Awful.
So I had thought that they were not going to make any more films. But that's not true, right?
No.
Well, you can't make $1 billion and not make more. You're like, we really respect this guy's, you know, gone. Legacy, but $1 billion.
Yeah.
Dollars.
Yeah, I mean, they've already. I think they've already made $500 million.
Probably.
Yeah, I was looking at that. I was looking at the dealio.
The only thing more important than reverence is dollars. So they've already talked about making more. I don't think, you know, they've actually.
Yeah. $499,920,000 worldwide so far.
So they're going to make more.
So you realize that one day we will live in a world where there are more Fast and Furious films that do not star Paul Walker than that do.
It'll be a glorious day.
Right?
I mean,
yeah, that'll be Alleluia land, right?
Like, people will be like, blonde guy that just moved?
With his anorexic wife, who when she was pregnant never actually showed that she was pregnant, even though she was obviously old enough to know how, like, which sex her child was, which meant that she had to be at least so far along, but was still like,
no. You know what I found out last night at dinner? Friend of mine, his wife were pregnant, right? Or his wife's pregnant. He's not pregnant, clearly.
Theologically,
they were able to find out. They were able to find out at like 12 weeks because of some blood tests.
Well, okay, look. So when you're as skinny as whatever her face is. 12 weeks, you would see something. Because she actually, like...
I like that the thing that threw Mikey off of these films' realism was the women cast for their physical appearance and not looking pregnant.
So, well, that's partly because... He's like,
that's too far. You're taking it too far, guys.
I'm sitting next to my wife, and she's watching this movie. And when we leave the movie, she was like, the hell she was, you know, pregnant.
And you were like, yeah, baby doll. I couldn't stop thinking about that.
He was on my mind the whole time.
So now I asked to bring it up because he's like, yeah, I told her I was thinking about it. So.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, I totally agree, babe. That was terrible. So, Okay, so JR,
what? I am sure that when the Blu-ray comes out, there will be a feature in which The Rock openly admits that he sat down with the screenwriters and said, all of my lines need to be worse. And then he savored each deliciously awful line and said it with as much gusto as he could possibly deliver.
Woman, you don't tell me what to do.
Yeah. And it was glorious. Like, every time he opened his mouth, I was like, this is the greatest movie.
So, to be clear, this is your favorite part.
Loved it. Everything he said was solid gold.
Like, it was
perfect.
So awful.
Now, Daddy's got to go to work.
One of my all-time pet peeves is cavalry, calvary. They're two different words.
Okay.
One is a hill on which our Savior was crucified. One is a bunch of people riding horses and fighting on your side. And Michelle Rodriguez, right, when she and Miss Andy from Game of Thrones pull up in the car and The Rock has crashed an ambulance on top of a drone, she says, did you bring the cavalry? And he says, as he's grabbing the chain gun out of the drone to drag it across the street to shoot a helicopter, he says, woman, I am the cavalry. And a little bit of me died because it was so awesome. And then he did that, and I was like, oh, The Rock.
I mean, but...
But it was still awesome.
Maybe he said exactly what he meant.
I mean, I would assume that an actor of his caliber said exactly what he meant.
Yeah, I mean, he was probably method acting. You know, he was in it.
But Rodriguez said it right, and he said it wrong. Mm, and that did take me out of the film a little bit.
Just a little bit.
just a touch.
Not the ambulance. Perfectly timed, running into a Predator drone, flying through a tunnel.
That was nothing but amazing.
I love that he pulled out his gun, though, and shot in the eye.
Yeah. Oh, I know, right? Double-tap the drone. You guys.
I think they just double-tapped their drone. I was like, really?
Well, that was actually... I said, you know what? I'm pretty sure JR's favorite part is going to be when they kill a Predator drone. That's probably, like, the best part of the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because anyone taking out a Predator drone usually goes to the top of my list.
Honestly,
I did honestly really like that the terrorists had a Predator drone. I was that's awesome. Hilarious.
How ironic.
How ironic.
I mean, we probably sold it to him.
Yeah.
No big deal.
All right. I mean, to fight the Russians or something.
Yeah.
So it totally made sense.
What could go wrong?
What could go wrong? Oh. It could be worse. We could have actually loaned them Rambo like we did Afghanistan.
Hold on. Quick question. Serious question. How did they get...
Is there a Predator drone outside your house?
Hold on. No. So here's what I'm trying to figure out. As I think about this, logistically speaking.
Yes, this is what you need to be thinking about.
They flew a helicopter from Africa to LA.
Well, okay, do we actually know that he was from Africa?
Yeah, I thought they said he was an African warlord.
Yeah.
Okay, I wanted to make sure we were just not assuming.
And better than that,
nice helicopter.
If they didn't fly from Africa, where did they get it?
They just had it. Duh.
Just appeared.
Yeah. Well, I mean, how do they get halfway around the world in, like, no time? You know, you're just like, oh, we're here. Thanks. Okay, cool.
Duh.
How do they fly? Do they fly coach? You know?
No. Like, they fly first class, obviously.
They drive their cars across
the
ocean.
They look at the attendant. They're like, does the curtain really need to be open that long, ma'am?
See, that's what I really want to... I want to take a shot at writing a movie like this, because then anytime I naturally want to make things, like, logically
work out
in place.
Yeah, yeah.
And I want to have the experience of writing something
and just being like, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Like, how did they get the
it doesn't matter. I want doesn't matter to be something that I write in a script like every 8 pages.
Yeah.
You know? Like something that I have to write so people know that they can move on. Like, I didn't just skip a part. Just, you know, scribble. Doesn't matter. Next scene.
Yeah.
You know? Okay, so Griffin, What was it? What was in this movie that was just your absolute favorite?
Honestly, okay, I'm gonna get like serious as a heart attack right now. All right,
oh no, gosh,
I'm gonna get serious.
Changing tones.
I'm changing tones a little bit.
Are you gonna tell us about the family? Is this what about
a little bit? I mean, a little bit. Honestly, I as garbage as most 99% of the script is, I like the whole thing with like Michelle Rodriguez and Vin Diesel,
mm-hmm.
and she's like, "Why didn't you tell me that we were married?" And he's like, "Because you can't tell someone they love you." And I was like, thinking about it, I was like, so for like a movie, like so all of six and all of seven, he had like ample opportunity and reason to be like, "You are married to me, I am married to you, like you were in love with me, like we were a thing."
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't. He didn't say it once. And I'm like, okay, I can get behind them being like, we don't need to just like bash that through. Like we don't need to like force her back into like being in love with this guy. I don't know. I kind
of
like.
Yeah, I have a quick question.
Yeah, yeah.
As someone who actually saw all of the films,
yeah,
and I did not, as we've already covered,
yeah.
Did they get married? Did we know that they were married
on screen? I can't remember if that's an on screen thing or not. It doesn't.
They showed the flashback.
They showed the flashbacks. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's an on screen thing.
Okay,
because I'm thinking it's definitely on the first.
So Michelle Rodriguez isn't the only one who didn't know that they were married.
Yeah, I mean. Yeah. Well, I mean, like, they were together for a long time, and at least in movie. I mean, yeah, because it didn't happen on screen. Unless it happened on screen in four, I don't remember. It definitely didn't happen in one or two, because he wasn't in two.
Do you think they got married while she was on, I was like, Pandora or whatever it was called?
It would have been in between, one and four, would have been the timeline for that to have happened. Because in one, they're right. Just, like, a thing.
Right.
Huh. Yeah. I mean, I would have to go back and watch four to tell. But if they got married,
go back and watch four.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, you see the problem with that?
Maybe
yeah.
I'll just watch it because I've never seen it.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about, like, I've seen 5, 6, and 7 recently.
Hey, let me know how it is.
And I almost want to go back just because I want to be able to add it to my Letterboxd account.
Okay.
and so,
such a completionist.
I am a completionist, so... I might do it at some point. I mean, right now I have a very, very long list of things to watch, so I'm not.
Yeah, but sometimes you need something that doesn't count.
I feel like anyway, yes. I would agree with that. Like Furious 6, or Furious 7.
Yeah.
Okay, so what did I love about this movie? Well, I think it would probably be pretty easy to say what I loved about this movie. So, I wanted to make it sound more complicated, but I can't. It's The Rock. I love The Rock.
Yeah.
Yep. I have a huge man crush on The Rock. That's the entire reason I watch Fast Five, was because I watch anything The Rock is in. I watch him do a lip sync battle against Jimmy Fallon because The Rock. I watch him in The Tooth Fairy because The Rock. I will probably not see San Andreas in the theater, but I will watch San Andreas one day. Because The Rock.
That has The Rock and Arsenal.
So, I'm going to watch it. I'm just not going to pay to watch it. Because I think there's something else coming out. I mean, that's the whole reason I wanted to watch Hercules, that I was sad I missed it in the theater.
Hercules was so much fun.
Yeah, it was.
Way better than it had any business being.
Well, I think part of that for me was the company I was with when I was watching it.
Possibly. That could be.
But that had a lot to do with it.
Probably.
at least until some people went to bed. But
man,
it was,
who would do
it was,
that?
Yeah. It was fun up until that point. But yeah, so I was trying to like, what was my favorite Rock moment? You know, I'm making the notes for this show. And I'm like, you know, I want my favorite moment to be a moment. But it really couldn't have been. Because I was like, what was my favorite moment? It was The Rock killing a predator drone with an ambulance.
Yep.
It was The Rock flexing his muscle and his cast shatters, you know. It was The Rock shooting a drone with his gun completely unnecessarily. It was The Rock pulling a Gatling gun or a rail gun or whatever out of the drone to shoot at a helicopter.
And then being the absolute worst shot with it.
Well,
whenever
yeah,
he had the opportunity.
He should have.
Let he who has actually held a chain gun and tried to fire accurately with it cast the first shell casing.
I mean, the thing was, is he was like, he was hitting the plane,
yeah,
but
wasn't.
Nothing was happening.
Yeah, he should have, yeah. Well.
You know that you have to shoot the plane until it starts glowing pink.
Oh, okay, that's what it is. I do love, I mean, it's like every great video game with like guns. Mm-hmm. There has to be a scene where there's like an airplane and you're having to shoot it through like some windows or some stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's good.
Well, yeah. The Rock. I mean, okay. And ultimately, probably my favorite part of the movie was the, you know, the rock bottom. The fight between The Rock and Jason Statham, I thought was really, really good.
Yeah.
And it set a tone for the movie that I think also contributed to me being a little disappointed, because that was so good at the beginning that there was little that really compared to that.
How did you feel about the Vin Diesel Statham fight? The street always wins.
Yeah, it was okay. I mean, like, there was too much. People have like huge heavy wrenches and that are hitting each other in the head with it.
That was awesome. I don't know what you're talking about.
And it just, I don't know. I really didn't like the entire climax of the movie. Like the parking deck part, I thought that was one of the most non-climactic things. What? And that was the end. Like the, did Jason Statham die kind of deal? Surely he did, but how he's going to come back anyway because of Jason Statham. Like that didn't, I don't know, it just didn't do a whole lot for me. And so the problem was, I did not like it, but I felt like The Rock was completely underutilized in this movie. You know, he's in like the first 15 minutes and like the last 15 minutes.
Oh, but
the middle is just needing more Rock.
He just ate up screen time when he was there, though.
Oh, God, it was beautiful,
I mean, like,
though.
He just ate it up. Like, I love the whole thing at the end where he's like, there's 34 feet of concrete. You better start digging, boy. I was like, yes.
Now, what did he... I'm sure it was probably something we might not be able to repeat on the podcast.
About.
For discerning audiences. But when he walks back into his office and Jason Statham's sitting at his computer...
Oh, he says, you picked a dance with the devil, boy.
They say, like, you need to, like, get up so I can, like, you know... whoop your behind or something.
Yeah, I don't remember lines.
It was one of the things that backs up JR's point.
Basically,
it was the worst thing that he could have said, and it was amazing.
He told him he didn't want to hack. You don't want to hack my computer, basically.
Yeah, translation, like Rock speak. What did he really say?
Yeah.
Okay, so JR, do you have any final thoughts about Furious 7?
I honestly don't understand why anyone would be ashamed of enjoying this film. It is fantastically done. But I'm also the person who unabashedly enjoyed Pacific Rim, and will defend it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only way they're comparable is that they're really self-aware of how ridiculous they are.
Yeah, because I think Pacific Rim is legitimately a good movie, except for, you know. Like,
oh, I disagree. The acting was about comparable. Mm-hmm. Whoa!
Idris Elba was in that movie. You
calm. Careful.
Slow down.
Careful.
Slow down.
Careful. Idris Elba was canceling the apocalypse. Need to remind you.
You bracket Idris Elba out, and what are you left with?
Yeah,
okay.
Not much.
All right, I'll give you that.
The plot was just as ridiculous and unbelievable. The action was just as amazing, right?
Yeah.
I enjoyed Pacific Rim more because I like giant robots and giant monsters more than I like cars.
And
loved Gundam.
Yeah, but... I mean, there are people that are like embarrassed that they enjoyed Pacific Rim too, and I'm just like, why? Like, listen, I can roll highbrow with the best of them, right? Like, I can do fancy schmancy movie reviews and blah 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 blah, but I enjoy a really well crafted thrill ride too. That's just fun for the sake of fun. I have zero problem with that either.
Well, we talked about that to a certain degree when we reviewed Jupiter Ascending on the show. Like, can a movie just, like, entertain you to some degree?
Yeah.
Like, does it have to be, like, super coherent and stuff? Can it just...
Or, like, about something.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... and I don't think it does. And I don't know why anyone, if they enjoyed this... First of all, I don't know how you could not enjoy this film. But second of all, I don't think you have to be ashamed of that.
Yeah. I think I'm with you whenever I think about, like, what I... Yeah. Unless you are really just prudish and not willing to just enjoy a movie for what it is and just for the fact... I mean, and I understand people are like, there's just too many butts. I'm like...
too many
but
butts.
But this is number 7.
Yeah.
You're
yeah.
still complaining about this. I had a friend that walked out
then
of Dude my car
yeah.
because it was stupid. And I'm like, that is your own fault.
You walked into a movie called Dude, Where's My Car?
If someone walked out of Dude, Where's My Car 8 because it was stupid, I'd be like, super your own fault. Right? Like, so, yeah, I mean, at this point, fine. Yeah, if you didn't like 1 and you gave 2 a chance, okay, cool. Like,
good job being open-minded. Probably that was a bad bet. If you're still offended by Seven, I'm not sure why you're going to see these movies still. Like, you have no one to blame at this point but yourself.
Yeah.
Yep.
That makes sense.
Agreed.
That's my final thought.
Well, okay. Do you have something to add?
I feel like Jay has spoken for me well.
All right, good. Like I said, if you do not have any kind of general moral objection, or you stuck it out this long, or you've seen at least Fast Five, and you know, you saw the explosions, you saw the ridiculous car chases, you saw the superhumanness of the characters, and you did not mind the gyrating posteriors, then you're probably going to enjoy this movie. Like I said, I probably would have enjoyed it more if the surprises were there for me.
Yeah.
Besides that, I mean, it was what I expected in a Fast and Furious movie. So if you know what you're getting into, then you're probably going to be pleased. If someone dragged you to this and you haven't seen any of them, you might be in for a sad surprise, or you might find that you need to go back and watch 5 and 6, you know? So with that said, you know, I had a lot of fun talking about this movie, probably about as much fun as, you know, I did watching the movie. And I think that says something, because, you know, we never really got too deep. We should try to kind of answer a little bit of, like,
family.
Family. You know, we got, why is this movie making $190 million opening weekend? Why is it already halfway to $1 billion? But for the most part, we just get to talk about how fun it is, why it's fun, how, you know, why people want to see it. Is it okay? Yeah. How terrible some actors are, even if it's not popular to say that. You know, things like that. And so, you know, great discussion. We hope you've enjoyed it. And if you want to keep that discussion going, or you want to tell us that we're all horrible people because we think that Paul Walker is a terrible actor, and it's still yet tragic that he is dead.
And no one's denying that. No one is arguing
that.
That
is always tragic.
Then you can continue to follow us. And JR, how can people follow what you do or keep this conversation going?
I'm on Twitter and Facebook, JR Forresteros. And then I also host two other podcasts, Storymen and Origami Elephants. And I blog, or I used to blog, and one day I shall blog again, at NorvalRogers.com, which, if you can't remember how to spell that, it's Shaggy from Scooby-Doo's first name.
Cool.
Really?
Yeah.
Or it's his real name, not his first name.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Huh.
I mean, and by real, I mean what the cartoonist assigned him. Given that
his name was Norval Rogers. All right.
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
I think much like the unfolding of the Fast and Furious saga, Griffin just had an epiphany.
Wait.
He just had an apostrophe.
3 is number 6.
Crazy talk. Hold on. If you double 3, you get...
What?
Oh, man. Oh, man.
So many minds exploding. Who would have thought so many brains could explode?
I wish they would have called Fast and the Furious 4 just like Fast and the Furious 3. Like, just glossed over the fact that there was a third one. Yeah.
Yeah, Twitter, so how people get hold of
Twitter, Griffin _, that's the thing below the dash, Kale. And on Twitter, I'm not on Facebook. Sorry. I am on Instagram. You're gonna have to like ask to find that. I don't really know how, actually. Couldn't even tell you. And then griffinkale.com, where I also used to blog, I guess. I have things that are
has-beens.
I have things that are done. I just am not doing anything with them.
Mm.
Blame my parents. I don't know. Blame somebody. Not me. Don't blame me. Not my fault.
I would blame Deckard Shaw.
It's probably Deckard Shaw's fault. He's the worst.
Because he just shows up wherever you're at.
It's not The Rock's
fault.
He's
10 minutes away right now, you guys.
Right now.
And through the window.
Okay, well, you can follow me on Twitter at Physification. You can follow Real World Theology on Twitter at Real World Theo. Or, if you'd like to know more about the show, then you can go to realworldtheology.com. That's R-E-E-L, worldtheology.com. You can connect with us there. You can connect with us on Facebook. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher, which, again, I love reminding people, especially when JR is on, that I did that just for JR.
Yep.
Just for me. But if you listen on an Android device, which I know there's only like a few billion of us, then you're welcome.
It's probably the best thing. So, but if you enjoy it on your Android device or any device, then please review the show. Can't tell you how much it means to us when we get new reviews. You know, bump our rankings. We really, really appreciate everyone who takes the time to do that. Because it's just like, you know, like when you go into a store, or I used to work in retail, and I know that, like, I would give people really great customer service. But for every, you know, 10 people that you would give great customer service to, and they would even tell you, like, to your face, but they would never fill out the comment card, you know? But the one person who had a bad day, they would always fill it out. So if we could just get more of the people who had really good days at Real World Theology to fill out the, you know, the five stars, just, you know, just take your time. It means a lot.
And probably if you leave a review as though you are The Rock reviewing the podcast immediately after finishing filming Furious 7, I will at least read your name on the air the next time I'm on the podcast.
And I will do whatever it takes, basically. Actually, I think so far, anyone who has left an actual comment and reviewed the show, I think I have read your review on the air. So if you're just ever wondering how you could be mentioned on such a spectacularly famous podcast, that is an easy way to do it. That and asking us questions about the movies we're going to do. Because
who,
like,
doesn't like to hear their name read on air?
Exactly. That's why I listen to the story.
Mikey,
man. Like,
Fizzle.
I love it. See? It's like I'm there.
How often do you ask questions?
Anytime JR asks, usually. I'm like, JR, gosh, I just want to hear my name on the podcast. I want people to know who I am.
Typically, that means we have to plan further than 2 hours in advance what we're going to talk about.
Well, usually that's, yeah, it's the same thing that happens here, because Laura was like, you know, people would probably really like to ask questions about these movies. And I'm like, yeah, but then I'd have to remember to tweet about it like the day or the day before. And I'm more of like a, I'm busy doing show notes to make sure the conversation's good. But that's the concept, though. Like, this isn't just like get your name read or whatever. Like, we are hoping that people are interacting with us, because the entire format of the show could be me sitting here telling you why a movie's good or bad. But we want to engage. We want to have a conversation. So, where did I get to? Dang it. Oh, yeah. So I want to thank you for doing that. That actually, you know, I know you're trying to mess me up, Jared. I had nothing to do with it. I really just lost my place in my notes. I have no idea where what your message just said. It just happened to pop up when I was trying to find my place in my...
Sure,
my
dude. Place. Whatever.
Gosh. I don't want you to think you've won.
I've won.
That was so convenient. Well, so anyway, it's a conversation. We want you to be a part of it. Or else JR wins. And you never want JR to win. So thank
JR
you so much.
Wins.
Thank you so much for making taking time to make us part of your week. And until next episode, when JR pities us and comes back. And maybe Griffin too.
What do you mean pities? I come on every time you invite me. I've never once said no.
It's true.
Really? You almost said no that one time, but we talked about it.
Which one? Which time?
The one where you were really upset because your internet was bad. But that was... That was not lack of desire.
Yeah, that had nothing to do with you. That was me.
Okay, see, now I've lost my place again. Anyway,
remember, the story is powerful.
And entertainment is not mindless.
Yes! Bye-bye. This podcast is a member of the Crossover Nexus. To find out more or to hear about other podcasts that engage faith and pop culture, please go to www.crossovernexus.com. You're like sneak, like stealing it from each other?
So, because... so we do Google...